Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody. A good Tuesday morning to you, coming live here in the morning, previewing Eagles day 5 of on-field work of training camp. Sorry, I got a little toothpaste, it looks like. Just brushed my teeth. Sorry about that. Coming to you live day 5 today. We'll have John McMullen coming up shortly. He's going to join us in the car again. So he's on his way down to the NovaCare complex. We will catch up with our friend John McMullen. He's going to give us the recap. But everybody, it's pads day, baby. It is pads day. So today is when the fun really begins for the training camp. I know it was good. We got a lot of updates through the day 4s. But this is when you really start to see a lot changes for the defensive line, a lot changes for run protection, for run defense, run blocking, pass protection. Things are a lot different when the pads go on. Ask anybody who plays on that line, offensive line, defensive line. When the pads are on, it's a different story on how you have to prepare to get hit and to get by people and to block people and all those things. So good. It should be a great day today. We have a good schedule today of shows for everybody just checking in and for looking for content all day on our Philadelphia Eagles. I will give you that rundown now. So right now, from 8 to around 9 a.m., I'll talk to you guys in the back half of the show in the chat. From 8 to 9 a.m., we'll be doing a preview. I'll have John McMullen joining me, hopefully around 8:15, so about 10 minutes or so. Johnny Mack will join me from the car. We'll go to 9 a.m. 9:40 this morning, Michael Clay, special teams coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, will talk to the media. 10 a.m., practice for the Philadelphia Eagles begins, and the pads will start popping. So that is the morning schedule for the birds. And then at 12:30 this afternoon, 12:30, I will be live again for a practice recap again. It'll be just me. Won't be Johnny Mack, just me. I'll talk to John. I'll see what's going on down at practice. We will recap the pad popping first practice at 12:30. So make sure you guys are there. It's not 12. Yesterday it was 12. It's 12:30 today. I have something going on here in the studio at the Jacob Sports Studios where somebody is going to be in the studio till noon. So 12:30, I'll be going live. to recap the practice. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. National Football Show with Dan Cilio. And then a special nighttime edition of Birds 365 is back from 6 to 8 p.m. Tonight. So 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, Johnny Mack and I. John will be down at NovaCare all day today, taking in the first day of pads, everybody. So we will do that tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. So a great schedule planned. I want to welcome everybody in this morning. James Carver, I see you, my brother. Mike Fittery, Terrence Taylor, Crowley, Big Costello, Bruce Banner, BMO, Eduardo. What's up, Eduardo? Twiz the Jig is in here. Coach Corey's in here. Appreciate everybody being in here, man. James Vanover and Christopher Baker, my man Christopher Baker. So appreciate all you guys being here. Definitely going to have some chat with you guys on what you're thinking about as we head into pads day here at the back end of this hour. Talking to John McMullen shortly. And then, as I mentioned, Michael Clay will speak today. So it'll be interesting to see what Michael Clay has to say. Remember, there's a lot new on the special teams this year with the new kickoff rules, or there's no onside kicks before the fourth quarter, and there's whole different setup. And, you know, it actually, I think the way the NFL did it is it's going to have a bigger impact on the game this year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what Michael Clay has to say about everything. And he speaks today, as I mentioned, at around 9:40 a.m. So we'll talk to him. I'll get Johnny Mack in here at 8:15 and see what he has to say. But a lot of positives coming out of practice so far. We've done the recaps all week long. I'll continue to recap it right now. I thought the most positive thing from yesterday was that Nolan Smith looked really good and that Jordan Davis looked really good. I dove in some more. I sent some text around to some of our buddies who were down there. Even Andrew DeCheco put out, boy, what a good day it was for Nolan Smith, who not only was he looking explosive, but he looks the part. He was bigger, stronger, faster, getting around the edge. He terrorized Fred Johnson, who was in there at right tackle yesterday for Lane Johnson, who was out with a toe. Crowley says, who is Fred Johnson? Fred Johnson's a backup tackle on this team. Crowley, I'd be lying if I told you exactly when or where they acquired him. Let me see if I can get that that information for you. He's 27 years old, previously with the Steelers and the Bengals. So he might have been a guy that was picked up either on waivers or a futures contract. But he was your backup tackle. And he's been here this isn't his first year here in Philly. So Lane Johnson was out yesterday with the toe, and Fred Johnson was in there. So Nolan Smith was just destroying him. And I know it's a backup. You want to see him do it against, against Lane and Mailata. But it's still good to hear that Nolan Smith was out there making plays, obviously something that he hasn't done in previous years. So good to hear that. B. Costello checks in. What's up, brother? Underwear practices are over. Time for the real testing. I agree, man. This is when things really start to ramp up. This is when, you know, I'm talking about Nolan Smith, right? I'm talking about Jordan Davis. Well, the pads come on. So now it's time to see them do it with the pads on when it matters more, and it's harder to do it, obviously. It's easy to get around Fred when there's no pads on. Not easy, but easier. Now you're going to put the pads on. Now it's time to see what he's able to do when the pads come on. So as I said, we will continue to monitor that all day. 12:30 will be live for a practice recap. So everything has been developing good, I would say, overall in camp so far. I think when you look at the positives of the offense, remember, you have a new offense here. You got Kellen Moore, and they struggled mightily in OTA. So to hear that things have been very crisp, Jalen Hurts, I think, is the best story of camp so far. He is on time, on target, in control, in command of the offense, as Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni both stated. I think that is the number one storyline here in camp. Is obviously, it's always going to be QB1, right? I mean, whether you're good, you're bad, you're indifferent, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. The number one story on any football team is the quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is our story. And the fact that he's had a much better camp, I think, is a very positive thing. Going back, I looked at Elliott Shore Parks, who puts out the stats. This is Hurts' best completion percentage in training camp since his career started as a Philadelphia Eagle. So take it for what it's worth. Maybe it doesn't mean much. Maybe it does. But Jalen Hurts definitely having a strong camp. I am getting more and more optimistic, everybody, on Kellen Moore. I know I don't want to go too far yet. I know I want to see more. I don't want to, I'm not ready to crown him or anything, But I am starting to get the feeling that Kellen Moore is going to have a similar effect on Jalen Hurts that Shane Steichen had, where he understands his skill set, but he also understands how to make an offense that works in the NFL. He's going to do the right things. He's going to spread that football around. He's going to make life easier on Jalen Hurts. It's not just, okay, Devontae, you go over there. AJ, you go over there. Run a good route, and I'll try and get you the ball. I think he's going to move them all around. He's going to create motion. He's going to do different routes. He's going to line them up in different spots. And I am very high on, you know, what's going to come of this Kellen Moore offense. Obviously, you don't want to jump the gun. We're four practices into training camp. It's July 30th. You know, we're still just over a month away from the games being played. But overall, I would say I feel very confident in Kellen Moore, much more so than, you know, Brian Johnson, obviously, who left a sour taste in our mouth. But Kellen Moore, who is taking the reins of this offense, it's obviously a high-powered offense with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley, you know all the guys, Jalen Hurts, and the O-line. So Kellen Moore has it all in front of him. But the fact that you're getting a guy that's seasoned, he, by the way, I mean, I know he was in Dallas, and we're not fans of Dallas, and I get it, but he had a damn number one offense in Dallas. He's had a number one offense two times in his career as an offensive coordinator. This is a guy that has created an offense that is playing at the pinnacle of the league. He understands what it takes. And the fact that he inherits this type of talent now here in Philly, I think it's going to be a big offense this year. I think Kellen is going to be a perfect fit here in Philadelphia. So we'll continue to monitor how that progresses. I'm looking up real quick for you guys. How many days until September 6th? 38 days, everybody. 38 days until the Philadelphia Eagles kick off in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So let's move to the other side of the ball before we get John McMullen up here. Defensive side of the ball, I would say the best thing that I've seen from the defense so far is Quinyon Mitchell. I love to hear Quinyon Mitchell is looking really good in camp. They've moved him all around the defense, as I've said, right side, left side, slot corner. He continues to look good. For those who missed it, any of our shows this weekend, on Saturday's practice, they lined Quinyon Mitchell up one-on-one with A.J. Brown for multiple reps. And, you know, I wasn't there to watch it. Johnny Mack was. Johnny Mack says, hey, Xander, I don't think that's a coincidence that they're lining him up on A.J. Brown. You know, sometimes that's just the luck of the draw. Everybody's rolling through the corners and the wide receivers. John said, I think they're purposely putting Quinyon on A.J. Brown to, one, get him ready, two, see what he's made of, and three, see how good of a player he can be this year. Not in the future, but this year. And the fact that he was able to stick with him, he stuck with him on both plays. Now, A.J. got the better of him on one play, but apparently he clamped him down on the other play. And like I said on the shows yesterday, I don't care who you are as a cornerback in this league. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many all-pros you have. I don't care how high of a caliber of player you are. If you line up one-on-one against A.J. Brown, you're going to lose sometimes. And the fact that Quinyon was able to stick him, I think, is a very positive sign for a very young corner that we have here in Philly. Hopefully bright things to come at the future of that position. So I thought that was very positive to hear on Quinyon Mitchell. The other exciting stuff would be, you know, the Georgia guys who seem like they're stepping up. Now, you're going to learn a lot more about them this year, or not this year, about today and the next couple of days with the pads coming on. So we'll see. But Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis have looked a lot better. Like I said, I don't have questions on Jalen Carter. I know Jalen Carter is going to be good. I don't have a concern about him. So, you know, I don't really either on Jordan Davis, but I think you want him to take that next step in his conditioning and those things. And the fact that he's had very good practices is a good sign. So we'll see how he continues to progress. N'Kobe Dean, I see Twiz the Jigga talking about N'Kobe Dean in the chat. We'll see on N'Kobe. I'm a little nervous on N'Kobe. I know he's jacked up. He said all the right things yesterday about putting the pads on and, you know, earning his spot and the position battling at linebacker. So, listen, I think it's a good thing, but we got to see it with N'Kobe Dean, right? We're in year three with him, and he has showed much of nothing in 2 years of playing, just four or five games played, not many snaps, not much impact, injured all the time. It's time to see it from N'Kobe Dean, I think, in more than just training camp. So we'll monitor it. I also think it's interesting that Zach Bond continues to get those first-team reps at linebacker. So the team obviously likes him very much. Vic Fangio likes him a lot, and Devin White is your other starting linebacker, and I think they like Devin White a lot. So we'll see, you know, what happens at the linebacker position. James Carver checks in and says Nakobe will be the green dot. Bank on it. We'll see about that. You're right. If he's out there, he will most likely be the green dot because that's been his role in the past, and that's what he does. He's a green dot type of player, but that doesn't speak to the caliber of player. Just because you're wearing the green dot doesn't mean you're the real on-field captain. I know it means you might call the plays out and you're a leader of the communication, but being a leader on defense isn't just symbolized by a green dot. That's not what it is. Being a leader on defense is being the champion of the defense, is being the player that gives their all, is being the player that makes plays, is being the player that is in the weight room all the time. It's being everything that everybody else strives to be. That's at least how I view it. I don't think it's just quantified. Okay, you're the green dot and you're calling everything out. Okay, you're the leader of the defense. I think it's a lot deeper than that. I think it's who's going to play the best, who's going to be locked in and focused, who's going to work their ass off to get the most out of themselves and their teammates. And I think being a leader is a lot more than just being given a green dot, you know, to call the defense. I think it's a lot more than that. And, you know, I want to see it from Kobe Dean, like I said. So hopefully these guys can continue to develop. Waiting on John McMullen now, who's going to join us from the car. Hopefully he stays safe and has a safe travel down to NovaCare Complex. As I mentioned, for those just checking in, appreciate everybody just checking in. Michael Clay, special teams coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, will speak at 9:40 and then practice again at 10 a.m. The pads are popping today. The pads are popping, everybody. So the pads come on today. Here's John McMullen joining me now in the green room. Let me go to my friend John McMullen joining us now on Bird Street. I have a special edition of Football 24/7. Johnny Mac, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, Xander?
I'm good, man. Hope everything went well for you last night. I know you were down at the Phillies game for them getting absolutely trounced, but we won't spend too much time on that. But anyway, did you have a good time last night, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, I shouldn't say. It's fun to see Aaron Judge. That's all.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And, no doubt about it. He had a big game, obviously.
He put on a show.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So you got your money's worth from that perspective as a baseball fan. He definitely put on a show, but the Phillies got absolutely destroyed. But anyway, we'll move on from that. John, it's first day of pads today, man. Everybody is jacked up for this team to get the pads on. Before I ask you about specific players, what change? I mean, you've been covering training camps for a lot of years. What changes when the pads come on? Kind of walk us through why it's so different, why it's so significant, and what it means when a camp goes from shirts and shorts to the pads, and how much it changes, and really who it impacts the most.
Well, it impacts obviously the positions that are more physical. So, right. You know, and that's, you know, Nakobe Dean had the great quote yesterday, you know, t-shirts and shorts are cute, but we play football in pads. And they used to practice in pads, but now they don't do it nearly as much. So it's a little bit more difficult to figure out guys who can look good in that those t-shirts and shorts versus, you know, when you put the pads on and it becomes more physical. Sometimes guys kind of melt away because that's a big part of it on game day. So obviously, it means more for offensive, defensive front players, linebackers, running backs, the physicality positions. What you do in passing camps, as Bobby King called it way back in the spring, is get a better feel for what you have at the skill positions and maybe the defensive backfield. But even that, I mean, Isaiah Rodgers was so good in spring, you know, the player of the spring, so to speak. And one of the knocks on him in Indianapolis was run support and physicality. So, you know, Christian Parker was very, you know, honest and said, let's wait and see. And today's the first day where we can actually see.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all develops. As you pointed out, a lot of physicality will be added to the practice when you put pads on. So we'll see how it develops. John, I heard some good things yesterday out of practice. I didn't have a chance to talk to you too much. Obviously, yesterday you were a busy guy, but Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis apparently looked very good. Now, the pads are going to come on for them, and I think you're going to learn more about that. That's obviously one of the more physical positions is that defensive line. But what did you see from them yesterday? And then what are you looking forward to seeing, you know, with the pads coming on for those guys?
Yeah, I Nolan Smith, because we've talked about him a lot, and he's got a lot to prove in his second season, was really good yesterday. So that's a positive. But I also want to pump the brakes a little bit because it was against mainly Fred Johnson, not Lane Johnson, because Lane was with a toe injury. So that's when I'm talking about that physicality. That's a big difference. That's when guys like Lane Johnson show up. And, he may not practice today. It's not a serious injury, but we'll see how that shakes out. So you always have to put these contexts in practices. I go back to Darian Kennard. When he came in, I thought it was notable. In practice, Tyler Steen went down with an ankle injury. And the fact that they put Kennard in was notable, but I wrote about it and I warned people about it. I said, well, let's see if he starts the next day. And that'll tell you, because a lot of times, coaches put meticulous preparation into these things. They want to look at players at certain spots. They want to have a rotation. And if somebody goes down in practice, sometimes you don't want to jumble that rotation until the next day. And sure enough, Mekhi Becton was in there as the starting right guard. So that's kind of a perfect example of why you have to look at the context and practice and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Nolan looked very good, and that's a positive. And Jordan Davis has looked, he's a good player. The only thing with Jordan Davis is how many snaps can you play at a high level and the conditioning aspect. And the Eagles have been very focused on that as a team-wide thing. But it's really about those two guys, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, because they want them in shape and they want them to play a lot. And if they play a lot, they're going to play effectively. And the question is how effectively, in snaps 1 through 10 versus snaps 40 through 50.
Yeah, we'll see how it continues to develop here. John, I want to give the injury update here for everybody who didn't catch anything yesterday. Saquon Barkley was out. It was a personal matter. I'm not sure if we learned anything more about that. Hopefully Saquon is all good. Lane Johnson missed with the toe. Oren Burks is still out. And then Tyler Steen. Do you have any updates on any of those players? Do we expect Saquon back today? Was it just a rest day? What do you know about Saquon and then the rest of the guys who were out yesterday?
No, they're never going to talk about personnel reasons, the Eagles. So it wasn't rest. It wasn't injury related. And hopefully, people have real lives and they have things they have to take care of. And hopefully it's something Saquon could take care of in one day, and he'll be back today. So that's the hope I'll get to see when I get down there. Tyler's going to be out a few days is what the Eagles have kind of said. So whatever their definition of a few days is. With Lane, he kind of popped up. And I thought he was getting a maintenance day because of his age and his status on the team. And it turned out it was a little bit of a toe issue. But it is day to day. I doubt he'll be back. You're probably not going to sit somebody like that just for one day. You're probably going to play it cautious, but that's just speculation. And Oren Burks, it's difficult. He got hurt in the first practice, and they've been rotating linebackers like crazy, and he probably would have been in that mix, not probably, definitely would have been in that mix and would have had an opportunity to sort of see some playing time. But obviously that's a bit of a setback for him. And somebody like Ben Van Sumeren's taken those extra reps and it has pretty much done well with it. So that's probably hurt him a little bit. And Tyler Steen's the biggest one, because the more he's out, the more it gives Mekhi Becton a chance to just seize that position. I think everybody's hoping for it from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
I put up some video yesterday of it. They went nuts. It's not over by any stretch, but and I will also note that the Eagles defense outperformed the Eagles offense for the first time this summer. And a large part of that was because, you know, they were under siege. Jalen Hurts was under siege from a pass protection standpoint. They were not doing well, the offensive line, without Lane Johnson and Tyler Steen. It's tough to say, you know, Tyler Steen, it's probably more Lane, but nonetheless, you get the point. They were not holding up well in pass protection.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. John, let's talk about some of those position battles as we enter camp here. But the one thing I'll say real quick about the offensive line, and I want your perspective on it as well, but I know it's not great to hear, obviously, that Lane is a toe injury and you want a guy like that to be out there, but you had Dickerson miss a couple days. You had, you know, Tyler Steen now miss a couple days, Lane Johnson. It's almost a good thing, right, that Jeff Stoutland's having a chance to – you can't simulate injuries, but he's almost getting a chance to shuffle the deck here on this offensive line, see who he has at what position, and kind of get a look at a lot of people. I view it as potentially a positive as long as nobody's hurt for the long term. How do you view that?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the silver lining to it. I mean, Lane Johnson doesn't need this. Let's be honest.
Right.
And even Landon Dickerson doesn't need this. And he kind of tweaked his knee early in practice yesterday. I thought he might come out, but he's such a tough guy. Just played. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Yeah, with players like that, I if there's anything wrong with them, I'm not gonna push it. And I think the Eagles are in that same camp, especially with Lane, who's an older player. But yeah, and then it gives you an opportunity because you see all those moving parts. They've gotten a look at Darian Kennard, even Brett Toth, who returned. We should mention that in a limited fashion. He had not practiced at all, and he was back yesterday in a limited fashion. He wasn't in team drill, so he's getting closer. But they had moved Matt Hennessy from the backup right guard to center to handle the center reps as the backup. And now, all of a sudden, they've moved him back to right guard. So it gives you an opportunity to look at guys in different positions, as you mentioned. And it gives you a long look at already you've got to see Mekhi Becton at right guard, left guard, and right tackle. So, you know, if he's not the starter, he's going to be the top backup at probably four different positions.
Crazy versatility for Mekhi Becton as he's trained all over the line this entire offseason, which has been interesting to see. But just more comments, John, on the Tyler Steen thing. I don't want to talk about the injury, but listen, when you're a guy that hasn't earned your spot yet, this is a tough injury for him. I mean, you know, he's missing valuable time here. And as you mentioned, it just opens the door a little bit wider for Mekhi Becton. Does Mekhi Becton look like he could be a real candidate for that right? I know he's a candidate, but does he look good in there playing right guard? You saw a little bit of Tyler Steen. You saw a little bit of Mekhi Becton. They're both playing, in a way, out of position. They're both tackles their entire career trying to play guard. Who looks more comfortable? Who looks better, in your opinion? I know it's a smaller sample size with no pads, but what have you seen from those two guys, and who would you give the edge to right now?
Yeah, well, I think Mekhi's got more ability, more—I don't want to say ability, but more physical traits.
Yeah. He's got that pedigree. I don't want—you know—we talk about pedigree all the time, but he does kind of have it more so than Steen does.
Well, and you know, Steen's a high-level pick as well. I mean, he's a early third-round pick, so it's not like, you know, people talk about third-round pick, second-round pick. Tyler was, you know, the 65th pick in the draft. I'm doing it off the top of my head, somewhere in that range. You know, or somebody like Davion Taylor, who was at the back end of the third round, was early 100s. So that's a pretty stark difference.
Yeah.
So he's a high-level pick, and they call, you know, day one and day two picks premium for a reason. But, yeah, Becton's, you know, 11th pick overall. But he's a tackle. And he's a tackle from a trait standpoint because he's got everything you look for with the length and the size and just his body type, whereas most NFL teams projected Tyler Steen inside for a reason because he doesn't have the same type of length from a traits perspective. So in theory, he should be better equipped for the right guard position. And, you know, it's to be determined. I would not close the book on Tyler Steen at this point. You know, if you saw Mekhi yesterday, obviously he's powerful. And at times when he gets a hold of people, he can just push them all over the place. But he's not suited to.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Play guard, where it's, you know, you're in a phone booth versus outside an island, and some of the quick guys are going to give him trouble, and you saw that a little bit with Jalen Carter. Now Jalen's a high level defensive tackle, and when he did get his hands on him, it was pretty good, but when he didn't, it was pretty ugly. So it's kind of a give and take. And then just the natural that we've talked about, he's 6'8". And they put him at 6'7¾". But if you round it up, he's 6'8". And at some point, the quarterback's got to see guys, especially. Now, you could say Jalen doesn't like to throw the ball over the middle anyway. So if you want to use that as an excuse. But I do think it's, you don't see a lot of 6'8 guards for a reason. There's bigger guys, and Landon Dickerson's 6'6". But boy, there looks like a bigger difference. I mean, that guy's just, he blocks out the sun. So I wouldn't just assume Mekhi Becton is going to win that job. And by the way, I'm not saying he's not going to win that job. There's a value to being a backup at four different spots as well.
Exactly.
And that's a significant value.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. Good to hear, though, that you think, you know, don't write off Tyler Steen yet. So definitely still a little bit of a battle going on there. We'll see how that plays out. John, let's move to the next position battle and what, you know, a lot of people were watching heading into camp, us included here on Birds 365, starting quarterback opposite Darius Slay. It was Kelee Ringo with the first reps again yesterday. As you've mentioned on the show, you know, I know everybody takes that to the bank, but they're moving them a lot around. What have you seen so far, especially yesterday? We didn't get a chance to talk to you. What did you see yesterday from that CB2 spot? How did Quinyon look? How did Keely look? Who's emerging as a good chance to win that position in your eyes?
Well, I think the most notable thing yesterday was for the first time Quinyon Mitchell took the first rep at first team slot. And I think it continues, and I've said pretty consistently, I don't know where he's going to play in Brazil on day one, but I think he's going to be in the starting lineup, whether it's in the slot or at right corner. So I think that's the most notable part. And then if you assume Quinyon is now going to be the starting slot, I would say Ringo has a slight advantage to be the right corner. But you have to see the pads come on. Now, in theory, he's going to be the more physical player, so it should help him against Isaiah Rodgers, in theory. But you have to see it on the field. And they both perform pretty well. And by the way, everybody does make a big deal out of it, and it was the third straight day that Ringo was the starter in team drills. You know, then when they go to 7-on-7s, Rodgers is the starter. So Vic is just rotating people all over the place, and especially with Quinyon Mitchell. But I don't think any of us saw Quinyon in that conversation to be the starting slot. And part of that has to do with Cooper DeJean's injury as well. So there's a lot of moving parts going on in the cornerback in the quarterback room. And that's part of the reason why probably the Eagles have like an 85% completion percentage through, you know, 4 days of practice.
Yeah, so we'll see how that continues to develop. But you're right. I mean, boy, they're moving a lot around. And I do think the Cooper DeJean injury is significant for these other guys who are, you know, if Cooper's out there, John, do we see Quinyon in the slot? Do they go to that route? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we would have seen some of these looks if Cooper DeJean was out there. You take away one body, and now all of a sudden the other guys are moving around a lot more. How bad is this for Cooper DeJean? Not in the long term. But I mean, playing on this team this year, like this is where Vic is really seems to be throwing a lot of looks at these guys. Cooper DeJean is a first year player, is not out there. He's going to start behind the eight ball. How much of an impact will it be on him, and are his chances of being a starter on this roster dwindling as quick as they seem to be, for, in my opinion?
Well, for week one, yes, but long term, no. He's out there. You know, it's not a serious injury. He's going to be back. He's very, one of the things people love about him is he's an high IQ player. So he's out there taking mental reps. That's probably the most important part anyway for a rookie to understand, especially this particular defense. So we'll see how it shakes out. But yeah, week one, sure, he's not going to be a starter. And there were some thought that he could push for that starting slot job immediately, and that's probably out the window. But long term, I don't think it affects things much at all. The Eagles are going to want to get him on the field as quickly as possible, whether that's week four, week five versus week one. In the long term, if he turns out to be the player that the Eagles think he's going to be, that's going to be a blip on the radar that people are going to quickly forget. So immediacy, yes, it hurts. But long term, it doesn't hurt much at all.
We'll see how it continues to develop there. John, let's move to the linebacker position. A lot of defensive talk here, but we'll get into the offense a little bit. I don't want to keep John too long. But, John, let's talk linebacker real quick. What have you seen from the linebackers? I think both spots, in a way, are up in the air. Both can be won. Nakobe Dean, Devin White, Zach Bond. What have you seen from the linebacker position? And are you leaning one way or the other on who might get the nod there, or is it a big juggle again for Vic Fangio?
Well, it's a big jumble, but I've seen no evidence that both positions are up. I mean, Devin White's going to be on the field. The only question is, do they at some point make the move to Nakobe as the middle linebacker, the three-down linebacker? Those are the two guys I think that are going to be on the field. And they continue to shift in that direction a little bit, it seems, each and every day. They keep starting team drills with Devin White and Zach Bond. And again, people make, I think, way too much of that first rep. Because then as soon as they go to 7-on-7, now it's Devin White and Nakobe Dean. And Nakobe was, the other day, the only linebacker in the dime set. So he was the only linebacker on the field. So they are trending toward back to Nakobe Dean, which I think is a positive. I'm just a little surprised that they seem to be all in on being the green dot guy, as over Nakobe. And that surprises me a little bit, to be honest. But, you know, Ben Van Sumeren's gotten first team reps. Mac obviously has gotten first team reps. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. even has gotten some first team reps. And as I said, Oren Burke certainly would have if he didn't get hurt. So they're trying everybody. And I think, you know, Oren better get back out there, because Ben's going to make this team, because he's such a good special teams player as well. And he's going to make this team as a backup linebacker. And all of a sudden, you start looking at the numbers. Well, they got to keep Trotter. You're keeping Devin White. You're keeping Nakobe Dean. How many linebackers do you need when they don't play, when it's not that impactful as it used to be? So, Oren Burke's better get healthy.
Yeah, you never want to see someone get cut for an injury, but that's part of the game. I mean, you're right. The way you break it down, if Ben Van Sumeren's looking that good, I don't know if Oren Burke is going to have a role on this team. John, let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. Coming into the camp, wide receiver three was the big position that everybody was waiting to see. What have you seen so far from wide receiver three? I know you heard, you know, we're hearing a lot about Paris Campbell and John Ross and even Britton Covey, who's now emerged. What have you seen so far from wide receiver three?
Well, Britton's been the best. But and Kellen Moore talked about this the other day.
Yeah, Kellen did, yeah.
When you have, especially when you have receivers like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith who are going to move around, well, if Devontae's in the slot or A.J.'s in the slot and you're trying to take advantage of a matchup like that, well, that means your third receiver's got to play outside. He's got to play X or he's got to play Z. And I'm not sure the Eagles look at Britton Covey and say he can do anything more than being that traditional slot receiver. So I'm not sure they're going to give him a fair shake. But, boy, he generates by far the most separation of this second group of receivers. I've said that pretty consistently. Now, it's mainly inside, obviously. John Ross, you know, would have been the biggest play of offensively yesterday, had a step on Ringo, was showing off the 4.22 speed. That's like 4.22 against 4.31 or whatever. Those are two really fast guys. And Jalen missed it, which has been rare in this training camp because he's been very accurate. But he's you can see the traits, but it's hard to. I mean, John's been around since 2017, a very long time. And people will. We talked about the pedigree scouting. There's so much of it with Mekhi Becton and Devin White and Saquon Barkley. And you can throw John Ross into that mix. These are all top 10 picks. Well, Mekhi was 11th. But, you know, they're not on their original teams for a reason. So I think people need to put that a little bit more in the background at times. But he's in the conversation, and obviously Paris Campbell. But I thought it was notable, and I keep talking about it. Howie Roseman rarely goes to the lengths he did when he was talking about the wide receiver position, and that's we're going to be looking at it daily, which they look at everything daily. That's not a big deal, but and if it's not working out, essentially, he intimated they could look outside the organization. Paris, but right now it's Paris Campbell versus John Ross. And Paris would still be the leader. But I don't know if the Eagles think that's good enough.
John, I want to close it up on Jalen Hurts, but just one more thing on the wide receiver. You're hearing a lot about, you know, Devontae and AJ moving all around. Devontae's getting a lot of slot looks. When they go to that, who's playing on the outside opposite AJ Brown? Let's just say, for the example, Devontae's playing in the slot. Who do they put on the outside? Is it Johnny Wilson? I heard that Johnny Wilson got some runs with the ones yesterday. Is he a guy that might emerge on as an outside, you know, backup? You've talked about how you don't just need a slot receiver. You kind of need a guy to back up the guys on the outside. Could he emerge as somebody that could fill that role?
Yeah, to me, they don't look ready, the rookies that they
got it. Yeah.
Anaya Smith, unfortunately for our buddy James, has not looked good. Johnny's looked a little bit better, but I don't think he's ready to contribute. In the case of first-team reps, he did get a few first-team reps. Sometimes that's just rotational. Guys need a breather, that type of thing. So I wouldn't look into it too much. It's generally Paris Campbell. It's generally John Ross, one of those two guys. And when – like a lot of times they're in 12 personnel and Devontae looks like he's in the slot, but he's really not in the slot because they have two tight ends on the field. So I think people get fooled by that a little bit. But Kellen Moore has been more willing to move the receivers around. And by receivers, I mean Devontae and AJ than they have been in the past. So I do think you're going to see him in the slot more. And when that happens, yeah, that's the reason why Paris Campbell and John Ross are basically ahead of Britton Covey, because they think they have that ability to move around a little bit, whereas Britton really, really doesn't.
Yeah, good stuff from Britton Covey. I like Britton, John. I hope they give him a fair shake to get that job. I know he's small. I know he has his limitations, but I do like the player. John, last question, man. Let's get an update on QB1, Jalen Hurts. How did he look yesterday in practice?
Well, it was his worst day, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because he can't keep up 85% completion percentages. The one day that he didn't miss a pass, it was only a couple drops. So he's been great, and he wasn't as great yesterday, but that had to do to me with the offensive line. And he was under siege from the first snap. It was Jordan Davis who kind of broke through on the first snap, and they were off and running from the defensive front perspective. Like I said, it was Nolan Smith's probably best performance since he's been here. Jalen Carter had a number of good rushes. They were just all over him, and it became a. And I say this a little bit facetiously because they were throwing the football to the backs just a ton yesterday. I think Ty Davis Price had 10 touches, I counted, at least. Now that's second and third team. But Will Shipley showed up with the first team. Kenny Gainwell had a, they both had big catches on wheel routes. It looked like they were really trying to get the running backs involved in the passing game. And that's disappointing that Saquon wasn't there because you didn't get to see it. And that might have been part of the practice plan. So, you know, they might have came in saying, all right, we're going to work on this. And that's the thing I think a lot of people need to understand. Sometimes you have fragments and you're saying, all right, we're going to work on this today. And I think they were working on that. And that was part of it. But all it was, it devolved into just throw it to the back in the flat because they were under siege, pretty much, from the standpoint of, you know, where they were as far as the pass rush and pass protection.
Good stuff. Good stuff to hear from the defensive line. Hopefully they can continue to do that as the pads have now come on. John, thanks for checking in this morning, brother. Get down there safely to NovaCare. We'll be following your reports all day long. And then tonight, Birds 365 with John McMullen from 6 to 8 p.m. John, we'll talk to you tonight. All right, man?
All right. Thanks, Sander. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Johnny Mac. There's John McMullen joining us from the car on his way down to NovaCare Complex to take in another day of Eagles training camp practice. Johnny Mac doing great work covering this football team. Best in the business as far as I'm concerned. I trust nobody more than the words of John McMullen when you're talking about beat reporters and guys who are down at practice and watching along. So a good recap there. Good look at all the position battles, how they're developing. I think it's interesting to hear about that wide receiver three. I thought he was going to give me a little bit more on Johnny Wilson. He said he doesn't look ready yet. So we'll see how they continue to develop. But pads are on today, folks. The pads are popping today. So a lot will change today. And I think, you know, you hear John talking about that defensive line and them getting through. And, you know, it all changes when the pads come on. So we'll see who emerges from the first padded practice. Like I said, we'll have Birds 365 tonight from 6 to 8. So we will get the full rundown of what John saw at practice today. So good to get back on our normal schedule there with the nighttime Birds 365 after that. So we'll see how it develops today. We'll be watching closely. And then for those in here now, 12:30 today, Eastern time. So about three hours and 40 minutes. I'll be live doing a recap of the practice at day five. So we'll see what comes of it. Michael Clay is expected to speak at 9:40 and then practice starts at 10. So we will keep you updated all day long on Jacob Sports. Let's go to our super chat here from our friend James Carver. James didn't like the slight thrown on Anaya Smith there from Johnny Mac. So he checks in. Is Britton Covey's 5'8 height inflated? I asked because Edelman was 5'9 and a half and showed smaller guys can play outside. James, I don't know for sure, but I've heard John, and we'll clarify this with John. We'll talk about it a little bit later tonight, but John has said it doesn't really look like a 5'8". He almost looks closer to like a 5'6". So I don't know for sure the size of Britton Covey, but I think it might be a little bit inflated. We'll see, you know. I don't think they're going to give him much of a shot on the outside. I just don't. I mean, I know Kellen Moore said he liked him. I like the player. I think he's a good player. I just don't see it with him on the outside. So, yeah, to your point, though, I think it might be a little bit inflated, as maybe Edelman's was, too. I'm not really sure. Edelman did look a little bit bigger. Brent Covey's a small, small dude. You remember the story, guys, of when he was a first-year player here in guys down at the link, the workers are like, who the hell are you? You're not a player. I'm not letting you in the players lot. And he had to like call and get it approved. It was really funny stuff. So he's definitely a smaller dude. Doesn't look like your prototypical NFL player, but we'll continue to monitor how he develops. James checks in. No, I 100% agree on the poor performance of Anais. Yeah, got to catch the ball, James. Got to catch the ball, man. I mean, if you're not catching the ball and you're a first-year player, you're not going to see the field. So we'll see how he continues to develop. But overall, I thought that was a very good update from Johnny Mack. Prince disagrees, but Prince, sometimes we're going to disagree, brother. I'm going to go to our chat and see what you guys are thinking about. Let's check over on the chat. Boy, a lot of good people in here, as always. All of our usuals are in here. A couple extras. Madness, what's up, Madness? See you, brother. Jarrell Ray's in here. Kevin Savard, what's up, Kevin? Yale Roth, what's up, Yale? I haven't seen you, man. I hope you're doing well. I haven't seen you in the mornings, at least. Good to see you in here. I know you're always on the afternoon shows. Appreciate everybody being in here. Madness says, let's go. Very pumped for the pads today. You and me both, Madness. Just 8 minutes left, guys. I'm going to get out of here at 9 a.m. I got someone coming into the studio today. So I, unfortunately, am getting kicked out of my chair, which I do not like, by the way. I do not like when someone kicks me out of the chair. But someone's kicking me out of the chair. I'll be out, and then I'll be back in at 12:30. And then we'll have a full slate of afternoon shows from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight. National football show, 2 to 6, Birds 365 from 6 to 8. So we'll see how it all plays out. Crowley checks in. I heard Anaya Smith is having a hard time. Yeah, he's been struggling a little bit, as you heard Johnny Mack said. Definitely doesn't look ready yet. So we'll see how that develops. Chad says, other fan bases really still think our secondary will be trash. They're going to be in for a rude awakening. Let's see, Chad. I'm with you. I think our secondary is much improved this year, but still a lot of young guys there, a lot of unproven talent, a lot of potential, but a lot of unproven talent. So we're going to have to see how that progresses, how it develops, and who's able to step up in that position battle. But it's been exciting to follow along and see who emerges, who plays best one day. And, my sights are set on Quinyon Mitchell, as I've continued to say. Prince says the size doesn't mean anything. Jalen will need to drop back maybe one more step. I think he's talking about the offensive line there. So, yeah, I mean, that is a big offensive line, though. When you think about it, you'll have, from left to right, you'll have Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, and then assuming maybe Mekhi Becton and Lane Johnson. Dude, that's a big boy offensive line. Saquon Barkley is going to be eating good with that type of offensive line. So we'll see how it all continues to develop. Callie Baby checks in. What up, Callie Baby? He says, pads get the popping today. Appreciate you checking in, Callie. Daniel Bigelow, what's up, Daniel? Hope you're doing well, man. Miss John, I'm excited and nice. Better get some better gloves or something. Deeper than gloves, man. You got to catch that ball. I don't care if you have gloves on or not. Big Trag checks in. What's up? What's up, Big Trag? Hope you're doing well, brother. Appreciate you being here. Make sure you guys drop a like on the show. Helps me grow, helps the channel grow, and we appreciate your support as always. Where's Kevin Savard? I saw Kevin Savard. Try catching his ass when he returns the ball. Kobe leaves people looking stupid. Yeah, and you just heard John talk about the separation he's creating. You know, as one of the only back-end receiver that's really creating that separation, he almost said it was like a different league with those second unit guys. So Kobe definitely has that ability to shake and bake and get loose. I'd love for them to go to him, but like I said, I don't know if they're going to. I don't know if the size is as big of a concern for them as it is for us. We'll continue to monitor that as well. Jalen will have to look between the trees. It's true, man. Our offensive line is literally like some massive massive sycamore trees. At like 100-year-old sycamores. I don't know if you guys know what a sycamore is. If you go to like those 100, 200, 300-year-old sycamore trees, these things are like you can't even wrap your arms around them. That's like our offensive line. These are some big boys out there, so we'll see how it works out. But hopefully, you know, the best man wins and the best offensive line wins. I do trust Jeff Stoutland to put us in the best position, and I think he will do that. Rashid Mixon says they can have packages for Covey. I agree. I think that's what they'll do. They'll probably, you know, have packages for a bunch of these guys, and you know, we'll see, but he is small, so hopefully he can get out there. But like I said, I don't know if they're going to. We'll see. Maybe they'll prioritize the other guys. Nah, brother, sequoia trees. I'm not like a tree expert out here, Eduardo. I said sycamore, and you might have thought, you know, I knew what the hell I was talking about when it comes to trees, but I don't. All I know is sequoias are massive. I see what you're saying. I just looked them up. Yeah, the giant sequoias. Sycamores are big. The only reason I know what a sycamore is because I grew up and there was damn sycamores all over my yard. And when you drive through my neighborhood where I grew up, It's trees lining the whole street. And I used to always say, man, we don't own this street. The houses don't own this street. The sycamores do, because if they fall, or they're way bigger than the houses, and they could just fall and collapse us all. But that's why I went with sycamore. But you're right. I'll call them sequoias. We're getting a little tree education this morning on Football 24/7. Appreciate that. James Carver says, though, the same tree family. Guys, when you don't know something, leave it to James Carver to know everything about it. He is a smart guy, our man James Carver. So appreciate you checking in, brother. Cody K checks in. What's up, Cody K? Hope you're doing good, man. I appreciate you being here. He says, I'm hoping Johnny Wilson gets used. He seems promising. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if he's going to. You heard John. I was excited to talk about him. John said he still doesn't look ready, so we'll see how it develops. But I you're right. I do like him. James Carver, I don't know jack shit about trees. All right, brother. I'm sorry. I used your take there. Christopher Baker. Let me go to Baker. Did you see Isaiah Rogers' Spider-Man cleats? Says Dallas sucks on the bottom. I didn't see them. Let me see if I can pull a picture up of them. Isaiah Rogers' Spider-Man cleats. Let me check them out. See if I can find them. No, I don't see them, and they're not coming up on YouTube, on Google Images. Were they on Twitter or something, Baker? I'd love to see them. If you want to send me them on Twitter or something, go check me out, guys. Follow me on Twitter at Xander Krause. Just my name. Easy to find me. Some of you guys DM me. I didn't see it. I haven't been on there in a couple of days, but I will get back to it. And if anybody reaches out to me, I always try and get back to you. It's on his Instagram. All right, I'll go check them out for sure. Maybe we'll bring up a picture of them later. But I'm going to get out of here, guys. Appreciate you all being here. We'll be live again, 12:30 today. Hopefully I can see all you guys there. We're going to do like a 30-40 minute recap of the practice, what went on. Hopefully I can get in touch with John McMullen and hear from, you know, whatever he saw at practice today. And then 2 to 6 National Football Show, 6 to 8 PM Birds 365. So we'll have you covered all day long. And then I'll also post up the footage that Johnny Mack gets of practice today. So thanks everybody for being here. Great show as always. Great viewership, great listeners. I love you guys. Your comments are amazing. You make this channel so much better, and we really couldn't do it without you guys. So thank you all so much for being here, for spending your time with us, for talking Eagles with me, for giving me comments, for giving me likes. We appreciate all you guys. One more super chat on the way out. Xander, I was sorry. I was trying to type. I was joking. I couldn't type fast enough. James, slow down, man. It's okay. The keyboard's not going anywhere, James. I'm here for your brother. I will get to your comments. I appreciate the super chat, though, man. That's 2 from you today, and we can't thank you enough for your support. So once again, thanks, everybody. We will catch you later on today, 12:30, and then 2 to 6, and then 6 to 8. So we got a full slate plan. Catch you guys on all the shows today, later on Jacob Sports. Stay tuned, everybody. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to Birds 365, the destination for the passionate Eagles football fan who bleeds green. If it's Eagles football, we're talking about it. Debate inside the locker room and guests that are some of the greatest football minds from around the region. We hope you enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Jacob Sports. See you next time on Birds 365.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.